translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation, Sri Manu said, O all-powerful Lord, O killer of all sins, I shall abide by your order. Now please let me know my place and that of the living entities born of me. Text 15. Yad oka samukumtanam mihi magna maham hasi. Echo. Asya buddha rune yatno devadevya vihiyatam. Translation. O master of the demigods, please attempt to lift the earth, which is merged in the great water, because it is a dwelling place for all the living entities. It can be done by your endeavour and by the mercy of the Lord. Purport. The great water mentioned in this connection is the Garbhadak ocean, which fills half of the universe. I'll also just read text 16, which has a short purport, and text 17. I'll talk mostly on text 17. So text 16, Maitreya Vacha Parameshti Tapamaje Tatasanam Avekshikam Katamehan Samuneshya Itidadyogihachiram. Sri Maitreya said, thus, seeing the earth merged in the water, Brahma gave his attention for a long time to how it could be lifted. Purport. According to Jiva Goswami, the topics delineated here are of different millenniums. The present topics are of the Shveta Varaha millennium, and topics regarding the Chakshusha millennium will also be discussed in this chapter. Text 17. Shrijito me shiti labhi plavyamana rasamgata atatra kim anushteyam asmabhi saga yojitai yasyaham hridayad asam saisho hridhak tume. Translation. Brahma thought, while I have been engaged in the process of creation, the earth has been inundated by a deluge and has gone down into the depths of the ocean. What can we do who are engaged in this matter of creation? It is best to let the Almighty Lord direct us. Purport. The devotees of the Lord, who are all confidential servitors, are sometimes perplexed in the discharge of their respective duties, but they are never discouraged. They have full faith in the Lord, and He paves the way for the smooth progress of the devotee's duty. Om Gyanantimirandasya Vyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Stha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Lalitam Vagnatam Vitam Sarvaitam Sarvadutam Prijna Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sta He Krishna Kura Sindhu Dina Bantu Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Vata Radha Tanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavane Shri Vrishabhava Chakapa Trubhyas Cha Kripa Sindhu Yavya Patitana Mahavayo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Shijitome shiti bhavhi plavyamana rasamgata atatra kim anushteyam asmabhi sagayojitai Yasyaham vidhayat asam saisho vidhatume. So, the appearance of Lord Varaha, that will actually come in tomorrow's verse. We'll hear the actual appearance of Lord Varaha from the nostril of Lord Brahma. So today, starting from, we had a few short verses, a few short purports, so I just thought I'd do a bunch of them. Text 14, we had a verse from Sri Manu. He said, "O all-powerful Lord, O killer of all sins, I shall abide by your order. Now please tell me, let me know my place and that of the living entities born of me." So, Sri Manu there in text 14, speaking to Lord Brahma, refers to Lord Brahma as Bhagavato and also as Amiva Sudana. Avata meaning of your powerful self, and Amiva Sudana, O killer of all sins. So, as we hear in the second canto of Bhagavatam, that Narada Muni is inquiring from Lord Brahma about the creation of the universe, and he understands that, you know, everything is manifested in this material world from Lord Brahma. But Narada Muni, he then asks him, "But, you know, we have to wonder, is there someone higher than you? That is, because you're engaged in such severe penance and meditation that you must be meditating on someone. So who is that?" And in a similar way, although Manu is referring to Lord Brahma, who he was born from, referring to him as all-powerful Lord and killer of all sins, we understand that beyond Lord Brahma there is Krishna. And being a empowered representative of Krishna, Lord Brahma is creating the universe, and in that sense, in this world, he is all-powerful. So then we hear in text number 15, Lord Manu is requesting Lord Brahma to please attempt to lift the earth, because it's the dwelling place for all living entities. And then Maitreya, still speaking to Vidura, says in text 16 that Brahma gave his attention for a long time to how it could be lifted, seeing that, you know, the earth was merged in the water. So he's being requested, and therefore this is indicating that in our service we have to think very deeply how we can improve our service, and using our intelligence. So Brahma is just seeing the poor little earth in the vast Garbhodak ocean. I think I might have heard one time Banu Swami describe how those, Prabhupada doesn't really mention anywhere here in purports, but maybe some of the acharyas mentioned that the earth that's being described in this section may refer to the whole Bhumandala, which, you know, takes up the whole from middle section of the universe. But then again, Keshavapuru is describing how this particular earth planet, though it's very small and insignificant in the whole scheme of things, it is actually very important, because it's one of only two places in the universe that you can go back to Godhead, being this earth and Brahmaloka. So, the Garbhodak ocean, filling half of the universe, as Prabhupada describes that, the egg of the universe is half filled with water from Garbhodak Shai Vishnu. And then the rest of the universe is in the other half of the 14 planetary systems. And somehow or other, the earth during, while Lord Brahma was creating the universe, the earth fell into the Garbhaka ocean. And so Lord Brahma has to, well, he's been asked to save it. So in our service, we have to be very attentive and really think deeply how we can improve our service for the pleasure of Krishna. So there's not only for Krishna but for the devotees who we're serving with, how we can, you know, just increase the quality of our service so that we're associating in a pleasing way, more pleasing way with the devotees, and this pleases Krishna if we're doing our service not just in isolation, that we're so expert at our service, but we don't really pay attention to others around us, but we're just very conscious that everyone else is also a servant of Krishna constitutionally, whether they're practicing devotee or not. And therefore we need to be conscious that our prime service is actually to help ourselves become Krishna conscious and help those around us to become Krishna conscious. And we can do that in our service, by being a good example of serving with enthusiasm, for example. And just encouraging devotees in that way, may not be directly, but when devotees see other devotees performing their service with a lot of enthusiasm, using their intelligence, desiring to please Krishna, then that inspires other devotees as well to also bring a similar attitude to their own service. So there is kind of like a external and an internal quality to our service. So on an external level, we have to do something, and it's good if you do it in a certain way because it's kind of more efficient, whether you're cooking or making a garland or something. It's just you can learn from other devotees. It's good to do it like this. It's you'll get it done more efficiently, and you won't make a mistake. It will turn out correct. Just like if you follow a recipe, then like I gave a recipe for some sweet the other day. Last week I sent it to them, and they're like, and it's not really hard. It's just mix a few things and bake something. And but then he's calling me up saying, "Oh, it's not working." So what's the issue? The recipe is there, there's a method, you just follow it. Maybe, I don't know what the oven was like. So on an external level, then we can do our service. We should become very expert at our service, because that is pleasing. If we're kind of sloppy and inattentive in our service, then that's not pleasing to other devotees. It's quite a bit disheartening if you don't really pay attention or you're careless. So, and then on an internal level, with our service, we want to, because we can increase our service on a kind of a physical level only so much. Our bodies are limited, everyone has different capacities, but it's at this level of internal serving that it really does, it's unlimited, that we can really purify ourselves of our anattas through our practice of sadhana, and then we see that our service becomes maybe more enjoyable, we're less mental, and we're more able to think of Krishna and pleasing Krishna. So this is kind of a goal that we need to be striving for in our service, that internal attitude. Not only service, but service attitude. That, you know, we're not expecting anything from our service, but only there to please Krishna and the other devotees. on the external level, we can try to, you know, we have in the Gita some brahminical qualities that are favourable for doing our service, you know, on the external level, that we should be timely and clean. And even these things can, you know, take quite a while to, you know, master. Like, I've been cooking evening meal for Crossways for a while, almost a year, and still not on time very frequently. Like, so it's there's always things that will kind of distract us, and it's up to us to develop that focus in our service, that we're not distracted by other things, and we just focus on that service and see what are the obstacles to me doing this properly, and just work at removing those obstacles with Krishna's assistance and help. So that is very good. If in any service that we're doing, we kind of have this mentality of we want to be more brahminical about what we're doing, timely, clean, and everything. And then it's not that you develop those qualities after you take second initiation. They should be kind of in place beforehand, because there has to be some qualification. So, internally, thinking of Krishna while we're serving, and taking intelligence from Krishna, being guided by Krishna, and just acting as his instrument in the Sankirtan movement. This is how we come to, you know, gradually, over quite a period of practicing devotional service, as Keshe was describing, that the whole goal of our Krishna consciousness is to revive our original relationship with Krishna, which is currently covered. We're not aware, first of all, of our spiritual identity so much, and beyond that, as a spiritual person, what is our relationship to Krishna. So that becomes uncovered by constant engagement in the Sankirtan movement, serving Lord Chaitanya's mission. So like Lord Brahma, he has his service for Krishna. So to develop these different qualities of you know, that service attitude, first we need to have a service. So just chanting our rounds and following the four eggs, that is also you know, the first service that we do to Srila Prabhupada. And it's very important, it should not be neglected. You know, sometimes I've heard of devotees that maybe not chanting their rounds and maybe still doing service, and that's not really adequate. Like, that has to be the first thing, because from that chanting, we're actually connecting ourselves to Krishna and, you know, becoming receptive to Krishna and Krishna's reciprocation in the service. If we're not chanting and we're not hearing very regularly and very consistently, then I guess service can just become, you know, mechanical, like a ordinary job or process. But if we have strong hearing and chanting, then the service takes on a different quality, that we're actually depending on Krishna. This is the whole point in our service, that to develop a dependency on Krishna. So So we're just cultivating these desires to serve Krishna, as Devamrita Swami sometimes describes that desire is compared to a fire, the fire of desire. So, you know, we're trying to understand the difference between matter and spirit. We have a material body and a spirit soul, and also with other things, like material intelligence, people have that, or spiritual intelligence. You know, how can we please Lord Chaitanya? And also material desires and spiritual desires. So we have to learn to see the difference between these. It's not that everything's good. There has to be some discrimination of what's spiritual desire. So material desires and spiritual desires, the difference is that either you get burnt or you get purified. So material desires just burn us and we feel fried. But spiritual desires, there's some burning of attachments, but afterwards we feel purified, we feel elevated. Just like I can remember past times and go to a catering event for 3-4 days, and it's really, really intense, but we want to do the service, we want to distribute prasadam, distribute comfortables and halapa. And it's difficult conditions most of the time. It's sort of sleeping out in tents in, you know, it could be really hot in the daytime, but then the night will become very cold. Or it could be extremely dusty, and it's really, it can be unclean situation. But all of that, Krishna sees all of that, and he sees that we're doing it anyway, and so he purifies us, and we come back from that experience, and we notice that, you know, we kind of, our heart feels lighter. So spiritual desires purify us. And in the verse 17, so Brahma is seeing that the earth has been gone down into the ocean, and he's wondering what can we do, and he doesn't really come up with a whole lot of speculations and ideas. He just says, it is best to let the Almighty Lord direct us. So this isn't surprising, because in maybe earlier in Canto 3 or Canto 2, I'm not too sure then, Lord Brahma was engaged in the service of manifesting the Lord's energies. So all the energy that's in the material world is belonging to Krishna, and Lord Brahma just manifested it. That was his service. So, but before he did that, he offered many, many prayers to Lord Vishnu, Kavyakshai Vishnu. You know, many prayers glorifying Vishnu. And so therefore it's not surprising to see now that Lord Brahma, he has that mood of dependence on Krishna. And he's just saying, it's best to let the Almighty Lord direct us. And as Naveen and Narada said several times, what do you do when you don't know what to do? So you just pray to Krishna. And he has, of course, many nice realizations on that from Sankirtan. And that's another thing that in the different services that we have, it's one thing to clean the prasadam hall and depend on Krishna, but it's another thing to distribute books and distribute prasadam and depend on Krishna. It's not so necessary. On some services that dependence on Krishna is just, you're just forced to a lot more. So, you know, like, as Prabhupada's writing in this purport that the devotees of the Lord, who are all confidential servitors, are sometimes perplexed in the discharge of their respective duties. So if you're cleaning the prasadam hall, you might have a problem that there's no hot water or you can't find a broom. It's pretty easily fixed. But then there's other services where you're really struggling and you have to become very humble and pray to Krishna a lot more. So that sort of service is desirable, and early services that we do initially, then they're kind of stepping stones. We want to purify ourselves and engage ourselves more and more fully in the Sankirtan mission. Of course, all these, you know, there can be whatever obstacles we're facing, they're like examples given of maths in high school, that are the test that you get given in year 7, that's just suitable for where you're at. So the test that we face, it's okay if someone's cleaning the temple or cleaning prasadam hall, then they may really feel like it's a test, and their mind is a bit not with it or something, and they're feeling like it's a test, so that's good. Then they will feel like that's in a mood that they need to pray to Krishna. So it's very good, as Prabhupada is saying, this feeling perplexed in the discharge of our duties. It happens all the time. There's not one day when I don't feel perplexed in my service. It can be anything, I bought some veggies today and I get on the scooter and it's driving along and some dust comes in my eye and can't see. And then I was waiting, I put all the veggies in the van and was waiting for one more delivery, potatoes and pumpkins. I was like, where is he? It's almost 7 o'clock, I have to go back. So there's this kind of mild anxiety that we have in our service, which is good, because then it's actually Krishna's favour that are giving us some bit of pushing and some anxiety to help us surrender to Krishna and take shelter of Krishna. This is the whole point, what we're meant to be doing in our service is really taking shelter of Krishna, not depending on our own abilities. In that way, increasing our faith, as it says here, that the devotees have full faith in the Lord and he paves the way for the smooth progress of the devotee's duty. So, you know, we see that we have anxiety in our service, not fear. Fear, and that's something else, anxiety and fear. But we see that although we have some anxiety in our service and it really gets intense, but kind of in the end it works out, and somehow or other Krishna just made it happen. And if we're in that situation, then we can remember Krishna and take shelter of Krishna, then that's the best thing. But if we have that anxiety and we don't remember Krishna, then you know, it just becomes like material anxiety, which you know, doesn't help us to progress spiritually. So the other nice point that Prabhupada makes, that you know, Prabhupada's purpose, he doesn't miss anything out. So he just says, the devotees of the Lord, and he adds this little bit that, who are all confidential servitors, are sometimes perplexed in the discharge of their respective duties, but they're never discouraged. So this is also how we need to see other devotees, each other, that see what is their, how are they serving Krishna, and how is that service giving pleasure to Krishna, giving pleasure to other devotees. And by Prabhupada's mercy, we are actually engaged in very confidential service of spreading the Sankirtan mission. So we need to kind of remind ourselves of that in our association of devotees, that the devotees are very dear to Krishna, and they're doing, you know, quite confidential service of distributing Krishna consciousness in whatever way they can. And that will, so we need to have that good relationship with devotees, and reveal our minds to devotees and give prasadam. And if you're maybe in your household, giving charity to devotees. So this way, not listen to the mind when it wants to come up with some criticism of devotees, but actually see when that might happen, which is just the nature of the mind, but actually try to see what is that, how the devotee is serving, and how that, you know, Krishna really appreciates whatever service we're doing. And you know, maybe they're like this, maybe they're like that, but it doesn't really matter. What matters is that they're getting purified by engaging in devotional service, and that's the best thing. That's the highest thing that we can be doing with our lives, is to engage in Krishna's service through hearing and chanting. And you know, it's like when someone new comes along to Krishna consciousness and they start chanting, we give them a lot of encouragement. So we don't, you know, whatever situation they're in, we just overlook so many apparent faults or anattas, and they're maybe still engaging in sinful activities. But this is the mood of Lord Chaitanya, this merciful nature. They just overlook it all, just don't worry about it. Just, it's good that they're chanting, encourage them in that way. And with each other also, we need to be like that. That, you know, we're trying to chant 16 rounds a day and strictly follow four regular principles. And we have a lot of other conditioning and anattas. But just dwelling on those things won't help anyone. It's actually, we have a process, and that process purifies people. So we just need to encourage people in that way to, you know, sort out, work out their problems so that they can engage more in the process of devotional service through hearing and chanting. Actually, Naveena Narada was mentioning, like, this is a very good way to control the mind, is just to, just this process of hearing transcendental sound. Like, can be first thing in the morning. This is often a time when the mind is very complaining, that, you know, kind of not quite with it yet, still. After wake or while sleeping, the soul, or the sattva body, leaves the gross body, and then when we wake up, sattva body comes back into the gross body, and it's a bit funny, and we wake up and we're not, it's not all there. So the mind kind of complains. But if we just, I find this a lot, if we just put some lecture on that's interesting, you know, a seminar or lecture by Prabhupada or our spiritual master, then this is very effective for engaging the mind and taking it away from those negative thoughts or complaining thoughts. And just, the mind is happy to be absorbing itself. This is a point that Prabhu was making, that the mind loves to be absorbed. So either if we absorb ourselves in Krishna's service, then the mind is not so noisy. And then, as it says in the purport, that the devotees have full faith in the Lord. So it is by that constant engagement and absorption in serving Krishna that we develop our faith. It doesn't come just by reading the books. From the books, you know, devotional service is not rocket science. There's just some very essential principles that we learn from Gita and kind of theory about the material world, and then we learn those things very thoroughly, and then that's enough to give us enough faith to engage in Krishna's service. And then that engaging in Krishna's service, Krishna will give us more faith and more intelligence how to progress further. And also direct us in our studies as well to different things that we need to understand to, you know, keep on deepening our devotional service. So Krishna says in Gita that those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. So that faith and that service, it's all done in the association of devotees as well. That we should understand very clearly as well. That we can't be you know, like a lone ranger, or just the material energy is much too strong to just pick anyone off. And so we really need to be serving and developing our faith in the association of devotees. So that's a great blessing that we need to be thankful for, that we have a nice community, and I'd also try to learn how to associate nicely with devotees and inquire from, get guidance from, and open ourselves up a bit. Another point, Navina Prabhu was describing that Krishna reveals himself actually in the association of devotees. It's not like we're so pure that we can go to the deities and the deities will talk to us. But actually, he reveals himself through our interactions with devotees. Like that. So when we're discussing with devotees and we feel enlivened, we feel Krishna's presence. There's also another verse in the Krishna describes that if we activities just depend upon me and work always under my protection, in such devotional service be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If however you do not work in such consciousness but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So this, in all that activities just depend upon me, so this is really a key, you know, kind of result of our service that we're looking for, to increase our dependence on Krishna. Not so important the kind of material result of a service, but the result of our service should be developing spiritual qualities and depending on Krishna and different things like that. So I'll just leave it there and see if there's any comments or questions. Yes.
Are you there at the internet service? Please.
Yes. I guess VFS, we're doing things on a. As we need to get proficient. The question is that we could kind of analyze that in our services, then there's a external aspect and an internal aspect. So how to develop that internal aspect. So we should become, you know, proficient on the external level, that you know, we just know what we're doing in our service, and because that kind of frees up the mental capacity, thinking capacity, because if we just, you know, like the mind can sort of, in a sense, run on autopilot, like driving a car. You have to be pretty alert driving, but more or less you can just drive it, and it's not like when you're learning to drive a car, it's all confusing and you're trying to coordinate everything, and it's, you know, that coordination is not there, especially if you're driving a manual car. So, but then as you learn, that coordination is just naturally there. You kind of look in the mirrors and look at the road, and so all that's sort of like the external level where we know how to do a service, to know how to serve prasadam, or how to maybe cook a particular dish. So then there we have free space, kind of thing, like disk space, some free space to cultivate this remembering Krishna. And just by chanting Hare Krishna, that's the easiest way to remember Krishna while we're doing our service. Kirtan is nice. And, you know, I sometimes play a kirtan while I'm doing service, and it's just can kind of move here and there, doing different stirring pots and everything like that. And then, hearing the kirtanas at the same time. And, kind of like that. So, does that help? Oh, is that okay? So, yeah, if we free up some disk space in our mind. So we shouldn't have too many blockages in our mind from different anattas and attachments. If we get free of those, then that also frees up space in our mind. Any other comments or questions? Yes, sir. So the question is that, you know, we're usually kind of not purified enough that Krishna will kind of talk to us in the deity form. So how can we see him speaking to us through devotees, increase our capacity? We just have to, I guess, remember that that's what he does. That's what Krishna does. He does speak to us through devotees. Just like any class, you can think this or that about a particular devotee, but somehow or other, somewhere in there, there'll be some... They're speaking Krishna's words, they're speaking Krishna's instructions, and what they've learnt from other devotees of Krishna. So somehow or other that message will come, it's coming from Krishna through a devotee. And the more that devotee is, I guess, purified, then the more clearly that message will come through. But even non-devotees, you know, as Prabhupada, you know, saying like one doctor instructed him to take you should go exercise every day for an hour, and so we can take it that, you know, he took that as from Krishna that he should go on a morning walk. So yeah, that's what Krishna does, and so we just have to kind of be alert to that, become receptive to it, and just kind of meditate on what can I learn in this situation, and what is Krishna trying to teach me for my purification. Any other comments or questions? Thank you very much. Kvantarai Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nitai Gaur Premnath.